Coalition MPs returned to Canberra today, and among them, Nationals MPs with renewed portfolios. Senator Bridget McKenzie becomes the first woman to serve as Agriculture Minister, and Queensland MP David Littleproud becomes Water and Drought Minister. Nationals leader Michael McCormack said praying for rain was one of his drought response policies. I spoke to David Littleproud a little earlier, and I began by asking him whether praying for rain was one of his policies too.
Oh, look, let's not get caught up on something that's been taken out of context. Michael's a man of faith, and he obviously has policies that he's worked up with us as the National Party, that we put in place a $7 billion commitment to the drought, a $5 billion future fund that'll pay a $100 million dividend every year in the good and bad years. Let's not get into the minutiae of pettiness. The reality is we're getting on with the job.
I respect that, and I understand that you have a drought strategy. But is praying for rain part of that strategy? Is it part of your strategy?
Oh, let's be sensible about that. I mean, the reality is people of faith do go and pray for all sorts of things. The reality is, as a government, when we get in to that cabinet room and when we come into this parliament, we work as a government on tactile things that we can deliver on the ground. That's what we do, and that's what we're delivering. No one wants to get into these petty games about what he said, she said, what it might mean. You know what? Those farmers out there, they don't care. They don't give a rat's. All they want is us to deliver.
They probably want the government to have a policy, right? That's what they want.
Well, Patricia, with due respect, we do. And in fact, you know the sad thing about this, Patricia? When we put a centrepiece, a $5 billion future fund, the only people to vote against that was the Australian Labor Party, the Greens, and Karen Phelps. And thank God Karen Phelps is no longer around. We actually tried to take politics out of this, to lead. But in the lowest political act in this nation's history, the opposition voted against that future fund bill. To politicise the misery of Australian farmers is something I didn't think I'd ever see. You know what? I've tried to be bipartisan since I became a minister 16 months ago, but that is something to just stoop to a new low. We've got a policy, and we're working for the here and now, nearly $2 billion in the here and now in helping farmers and communities, because it's not just farmers that hurts, it's also small communities that need support. Nearly $2 billion in support now, but then a centrepiece to put a future drought policy around, that we're working with NFF and state agricultural bodies to make sure we get it right, that we understand whose responsibility is what into the future.
Minister, I actually noticed this morning that Anthony Albanese, who's the new Labor leader, mentioned you by name as one of the people he works with and likes across the aisle. He says he wants to work in a bipartisan way. Have you reached out to him over this policy approach?
No, look, I've sent Albo a message to say good luck and congratulations. I respect Albo. I think he's a man of integrity. His word is his bond. But the reality is we differ fiercely on some philosophical grounds. And the reality is we'll be reaching out to him as we bring this legislation, because it's got to go through the Senate yet, to come and to rethink their positioning on it, because it's an important piece, and we'll have constructive conversations, because I can do that, and I've done that with Tony Burke as well on water. You know, I stopped the yelling. People are sick of the politics. They want leadership, and that's what with the Murray-Darling Basin Plan, for the first time in our nation's history, the biggest environmental program in our nation's history has support from the basin states and the Commonwealth. That's an enormous achievement, one that I'm quite proud of, but one that we've still got to work through and deliver, and I'll be continuing to have my hand out to Tony Burke and to Anthony Albanese to work with us to get those outcomes that Australians expect for them.
Some Nationals MPs are very angry with your leader, Michael McCormack, over the ministry reshuffle. Did he advocate enough for the Nationals, and why didn't he push harder for the Nationals to have another portfolio?
Well, he did. The reality is we're governed by arithmetic. That's politics.
So did he push and fail?
No. Michael has made sure that the key portfolios that even the Prime Minister has elevated in terms of agriculture and water and drought has been elevated significantly within the Cabinet, shows the importance of this to the National Party, but this to the government and the coalition, the 75-year agreement that we've had. And now we've got a Prime Minister that has elevated this to the highest level, shows that we are working hard and we're getting our fair share as Nats, but because we've got a Prime Minister that understands the importance of this this, because he's come out and kicked the dust. He sat at those people's kitchen table with me and Michael McCormack. He understands it, and we're getting our fair share. But you know what? It's important we continue to work collaboratively and collectively with our coalition partners, and we're doing that, and these are the outcomes that we're going to get, and we're going to deliver.
Okay, so when I put to you this question about why you didn't get more portfolios, you said that Michael McCormack did push for that. So did he push for this extra portfolio, and did he fail?
No. Simple arithmetic. I'm no Rhodes Scholar. We're only entitled to 4 cabinet positions. And as of tomorrow, about 10 o'clock in the morning, there'll be 4 of us that walk out as cabinet ministers. I don't think he can do much more than that.
Do you see that relationship as a marriage or as a business partnership?
Look, I think we have a transactional relationship that has gone beyond just transactions into one that is of mutual respect and agreement. The reality is that the Prime Minister has elevated agriculture and water and drought policy to the highest level in making sure there is a real focus on that in Cabinet. I think demonstrates that our advocacy within that coalition has elevated this to the attention of the Prime Minister, to the extent that we're in harmony on that.
Moving to your portfolio, there have also been critiques from some of your colleagues about the splitting of agriculture and water resources. What's the benefit in doing that?
Look, this is, as I said earlier, with respect to the Murray-Darling, it's the biggest environmental program in our nation's history. And we are on the cusp of delivering it. I took the politics out of it and led, and took the name calling, because those 2 million Australians that live up and down the basin, they've had a gutful, they're fatigued. They just want government out of their lives, and they want this completed. And that's why we need to continue to make sure between now and 2024 that this plan is delivered, and we have to work with the states to do that. And then obviously with agriculture and the reforms that are required in there, it takes a lot of attention. But the elevation of those two portfolios separately into Cabinet means that there's greater attention with respect to how we deliver those services to regional Australia.
Don't you just have all the hard parts of the portfolio without any of the glory?
Look, that'd be your assessment. I find it all rewarding. I've enjoyed my time as Agriculture and Water Resources Minister for the 16 months I had. I'm proud of the legacy I've left in agriculture, and I know Bridgie will be able to build on that and create her own legacy. And deliver for regional Australia, particularly agriculture, as I want to continue to protect that legacy that I also reflect that Tony Burke has a legacy with Murray-Darling Basin Plan, to deliver that in a respectful way to our communities and make sure that those social and economic impacts that have been harsh on those communities are understood. And I'm making some moves around that to get a better understanding, more granular understanding of all the communities, so that we can give those communities the tools to reconstruct and to make sure that the marketplaces within the Murray-Darling Basin, the trading of waters, is equitable.
Michael McCormack announced a $100 million national water grid to create dams during the election campaign. Does he still have carriage of that? How will that work with your new role?
No, definitely Michael still has carriage of that and the infrastructure. And then between us, we've put on the table $3.2 billion to go and build water infrastructure. But you know what, Patricia? It's never been the responsibility of a federal government to build a dam or a pipeline. It's always been the responsibility of the states. But they've done bugger all. And it doesn't matter where you are, I'm going to call them out. We've decided we've had enough. We've put a cheque on the table and said, let's come and get it. And we're going to help drought-proof this nation, but also grow agriculture in regional Australia. The only state that's taken our money with any real zest has been Tasmania. And you've got to congratulate the Tasmanian government. They've got the hand out for more. And if the other states don't pick their act up, they're going to miss out, because Tassie is going after this because they see the importance of using the smarts and the infrastructure and technology of the 21st century to build the infrastructure that can get the social and economic benefit as well as look after the environment.
So what are your priorities for the national water grid? Where will you look to build these dams?
We've already put on the table over $300 million. For communities to tell us the water infrastructure pieces they want. And you know what? We've got to get the states to come with us. You don't want a Canberra solution. We've actually engaged with the community, and we've highlighted even one in my own electorate, Emu Swamp Dam. We've put 50% up. The growers have put 30% up, and I'm still waiting on the Queensland government to kick the tin or even just give us approval. And this is the sort of go-slow mentality. You know, when we had this election on the 18th of May and we talked in regional Queensland that this was a real message to the Queensland Labor government, government about mining jobs. Well, let me tell you, this is also a real message to the Queensland Labor government about dams and water infrastructure. Get out of our way. The Australian people, the regional Australians have particularly said, get out of our way, let's get D8s and excavators moving, let's dig some holes and let's store the water when it comes.
During the campaign, very early on in the political campaign, the federal election campaign, this, you know, issue around Watergate, hashtag Watergate, it was trending as broke, and there was a lot of discussion about it. At the time, you said that you were going to get the Auditor General to look at this. What kind of time frame do we have around that? Can you give me any details on what you know and when we'll see a report on this?
No, well, look, I haven't been sworn in yet, so we're just coming out of caretaker provisions tomorrow. So what I'll be asking for is an update with respect to where that is, and I have no problems in making that transparent to the public. I think one of the things I've tried to bring to the Murray-Darling Basin Plan over the last 16 months as Water Minister is to make sure there's transparency, because if you get that transparency, you get confidence across the community. And I'm prepared to do that, along with other measures and compliance in particular, and making sure that environmental flows are protected and farmers are taking what is rightfully theirs and not a drop more.
Okay, but what's your power? Because the Auditor General sets their own time frame, unless you can explain to me how you can make this be at the top of the queue so that there's some action on this, that there's an investigation into this very quickly.
Well, I took action. I wrote to them straight away and asked them to investigate. I mean, obviously, you've just articulated your own answer in that they are their own entity, their own authority. I've got to respect that. I think they understand the importance of it to the Australian people and to the government. But obviously, once I get my feet under the desk with a mandate of the ministry, I can't give you a definitive answer. But I don't intend to, because that would be wrong. I wouldn't be able to tell you the facts.
So what's available to you? Could you provide the Auditor General more money, for instance, so that this can be done as a priority? Because obviously there's a lot of work on the table there. Is that something you could do?
Well, obviously, once I get a brief and understanding of the position, I can make a determination from then. But I don't intend to preempt a decision one way or another until I get the facts.
David Littleproud, thanks for coming on.
Anytime. Great to be with you.